Voices from the Past takes us back to the early days of the CLC and articles which were written by some of our servants back then. This month we hear from Professor Edmund Rhyme, a leader in the formation of the CLC. He was also the first president of Emmanuel Lutheran Seminary. This article appeared in the Lutheran Spokesman in August of 1969. It is entitled, Revising the, quote, I Am, unquote. It has become the fashion lately to take a new hard look at almost everything that has previously been accepted as established fact. It is not surprising, therefore, that even so simple and harmless a word as I am, and its related forms, is, are, etc., should become a target for this modern technique. Nor is this wrong in itself. There is some reason for such a challenge, when men introduce their argument by saying, it is certain that, they are often simply covering up the fact that there is something in their position about which they themselves are not quite sure. To deflate such inflated claims is surely all to the good. The matter becomes more complicated, however, when the discussion turns to the question of absolutes. May one make a straightforward statement like, this is right and that is wrong? Or should one hedge a bit by saying, I consider this right or I count that wrong? If the speaker is not sure of his ground, the latter would surely be the honest form. But if one is sure, why invite doubt, particularly at this time when the world is so full of it? Why let the trumpet give an uncertain sound? For there are things about which we can be certain. There are absolutes, even in civil life. When our government assures all of its citizens of the civil liberties listed in the Constitution of the United States, such individuals or minority groups as are contending for these privileges are within the rights, even though an intense struggle may be involved. But they are wrong when they resort to violence to reach their goal. For it is simply wrong to rob, wreck, maim, and murder, even as adultery, fornication, sexual perversion, and homosexuality are wrong, to mention just a few more. For all of these are absolutes. This will, of course, provoke an argument. For has modern society not revised its standard on some of these things? It has indeed, sometimes up to the point of rejecting them in their entirety. But they stand, nonetheless, these absolutes. They stand because it is not the authority of men which has made them what they are, but God Himself. Where He speaks, there we have the true absolutes. Let men deny it as much as they will. So far, this is, of course, pure law, and as Christians, we recognize it as an expression of the holy and perfect will of God. But we have an even higher reason for rejecting this arbitrary tampering with those traditional expressions of certainty, is and are and am. For here the very name of God is involved, the one He gave Himself when He said, I am that I am. The one which Jesus invoked when He said, before Abraham was, I am. There we have that name of God which identifies Him as the one who changes not, the one whose every word stands for all time, the one whose faithfulness stands as a solemn guarantee of the certain fulfillment of all that He has ever promised. There is the true absolute. And consider what it means when He speaks in the person of that Son. I am the Good Shepherd. I am the door of entry into His kingdom. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Yes, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And when he asks, Believest thou this? Let our answer be like Martha's. Yea, Lord, I believe. There will indeed be for us no revising of the I Am. Rather, we shall have the right to apply to ourselves the wonderful assurance given by the Lord at the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. In the face of all the tempests of our day, we have this comforting sequel that, quote, when the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock, end quote.